Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, where we get to share with you stories from members of Lifestyles as they've come through the program, and they've found it, as they've come through it, what they've learned from it, and what their plans are for the future. If you're interested in being a part of this program and you get the idea from something you hear, you'd like to join up, just text the word radio to 88007, and you can get yourself a membership on discount right now. So if you're thinking about that, go ahead and get in. Having said that, let's go ahead and get started. Our guest today is Gordon Polk out of Spring, Texas, which is right around here in Houston, where I'm out of. So, Gordon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del.
Gordon, let's get excited here today, and let's talk about...
I will try.
What it was that got you motivated to look into this stuff. I saw your resume said that you weren't as happy with the promises that were made in your 401k plan and what that would end up giving you compared to what it ended up actually doing. You want to take us through when and where that finally hit you that, hey, wait a minute, I better relook at this thing?
Well, the first time I actually started getting interested in real estate, I was living in Northwest Indiana, Gary, Indiana area. And I saw all these houses there for like $25,000, and my thought was to start buying them, but I never could find, a way to do it. And my whole life, I've taken seminars and gone to these different things, and just no one ever had a really good plan until I came to Lifestyles. But I started investing in the market when I was in my early 20s. And I got to my mid-50s, and it's like the promise that they made of, you know, having $1.2 million by the time you retire just didn't happen. And I had only accumulated maybe about $200,000, and I knew I needed to do something differently.
So for those listening that wouldn't be as common with your verbiage, when you state, I started investing in the market, are you saying the stock market, or are you saying the real estate market?
Stock market. I was investing in mainly mutual funds.
Okay. And the plan that you had someone share with you said that could get you to $1.2 million? How do you get to $1.2 million by doing that? I would think you have to save a lot of money, huh?
Yes, and I mean, it's a common story that you hear financial advisors tell that, you know, if you put aside so much money every month that by the time you retire, you'll have about $1.2 million. But I think they account for you making a decent amount of money and also getting a very high rate of return, which for me, neither one happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like it. You're right. I remember having people speak to us at different places, and they pull out these actuarial science tables. It's like, you know, hey, if you put this amount of money in, it's going to end up at this, and if you start at this age, you won't have as much. There was really a big deal about what age you start, right? And you have to start early to make it work for this plan to work and so on and so forth. But you actually started in your 20s, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, so you run into that, and you finally figure that out isn't going to work. It takes a while. Life is life. You're busy. When did it come up to you again that you need to rethink that?
Well, I had been listening to your radio program on and off for years, and I lost my job in my mid-50s, and I was outside just walking around thinking about life, and I had an epiphany that I've been wanting to do real estate my entire life, and this was the time. It was now or never.
Okay, so how did you get in here and get started?
Yes, sir. There was a free workshop, and I visited that and went through the basic free workshop and learned basically how the basic real estate investing worked and what lifestyles could provide.
Is it possible for you to remember it all sometime back, I'm sure? What was different in your mind about what we were saying? And you said you had listened to other seminars or been to them or whatever, but you said this one made more sense. Can you share with everybody in any way, shape, or form, remember it? What sounded different? I mean, because I'm a skeptical person, so I'm skeptical of everything I hear until I see it, feel it, touch it, whatever. But what made you think this one had a little more common sense to it than the other stuff?
Well, most of the places that I've gone to were nothing more than hype. They were, you know, the loud music, the getting people pumped up to try to, you know, get you to buy their products, whatever it was that they were selling. But one of the things that I found out coming to lifestyles, even the workshop, is that everybody in that room was an investor. I don't care if it was the IT guy or the person at the front desk, they were all investors. And I could talk to any of them there, and they could tell me the same story. And so the big difference about lifestyles is that it was full of people who had actually gone through it. They were not salespeople trying to sell me a product. These were people who had actually been through the program and done well.
Okay. Then when you went and you took the free workshop, I assume that you went to a case study then somewhere in that area?
Well, being skeptical like you, I honestly did not even join after the workshop. I literally left my wallet in my vehicle because I did not want to get hyped into buying a program that I didn't want to do. But a couple of days later, I was called by member services, and they asked me just a few questions. You know, what did you think about it? Why did you, what basically were you needing in order to join? And so I ended up joining over the phone. And after that, yes, I went to case studies and also the what we call the 2-day, which is 2 days of training that teaches you all about the basics of investing in the market or investing in real estate.
Yeah, by the way, just so you'll know and everybody out there, we've changed the name of that this year in 2026 to the intensive, the 2-day intensive. That's the people around me decided that sounded better, the 2-day intensive instead of the 2-day financial freedom workshop, which they say you can't say financial freedom anymore because nobody's financially free in our society, according to them now. The younger generations decided that, you can't say that you can be financially free. I still know you can, so the bottom line is I'm teaching the class, but if they want to call it something else, they can call it something else, so it's going to be called the intensive, and it is 2 days worth. So when you came in there, you'd listened to other stuff. You hadn't done any real estate yet before you took the 2-day?
No, sir. No, sir.
All right. So that's going to give you a different perspective. Let's ask then, what aha moment caught your attention? Go, yeah, that makes sense. I see how this works now. Because there's always that thing, like everything in life that I do, you're like, okay, let me see how to play guitar. And you're holding the chords and the fingers don't fit and it hurts and you can't move them and there's no music. And then one day something happens and boom, you go, well, that's the way it really works. And then it just all from that point on gets easier. What was it in the 2-day that struck you as that's what I've been missing? That's what makes sense of this stuff.
Well, I grew up very poor and I was always a renter. Even owning my own house was something big. What my biggest aha moment was realizing that I could actually buy additional properties.
So it is very, very common for people to believe that all you qualify for is your first personal residence based on your debt-to-income ratio, and you have to fight to get that to where it's, you know, your debt-to-income ratio is qualifies you to buy a home and what size you can qualify for. And it's like a giant struggle to buy that first personal residence, but then you found out the secret that the second house pays for itself. So share that with us.
What really amazed me is at how quickly things can change. Is that I bought the first house. I was working at the time, so I didn't need the income that was coming in from the property. And before I knew it, I was hooked. And I could take that money and then just buy another and then buy another. And before you know it, within a period of 5 years, I had owned 10 rental houses.
Absolutely. And the thing I was trying to cover, I thought you were covering, but I'm going to cover it anyway, even though you this wasn't the point you were making, is that you have to earn enough income to pay for the mortgage of a of your own personal residence. But when you buy a rental house, the rent from the house covers the mortgage payment. So you don't have to qualify, even if you already have your own personal rent. So you're able to buy, and then you can, now that one's rented, you can buy another one. And when that one's rented, you can buy another one, so on and so forth. So you went ahead and did 10. I think a good point there is that I did the same thing, Gordon. I bought houses one after the other like that. Then I started buying duplexes that way. Then I started buying fourplexes that way. And then eventually I started buying apartment complexes that way. And to this day, what's exactly funny is that my real estate produces enough income that I could buy a new giant property every year out of the income that came from the other property. So it's your story is absolutely right on point. Let's talk about where you went to mentally from that point. Once you figured that out, where did you go?
Well, I came into Lifestyles with a very narrow vision of what was possible. And I actually wrote down some goals, and I believe my goal was to purchase one house maybe within a period of a couple of years. And after buying that first house, it I got so excited about it, to be honest. I had to do another one, and did that one, and as I said, it became like a snowball, because the income from each house was just building up, and all of a sudden I had more money that I could buy more houses. It just literally became a self-perpetuating business.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And how fast did you buy these houses? Kind of give us a timetable. Walk us through it.
Well, I started buying houses in 2018. I did not buy right off the bat when I joined Lifestyles. I was still very cautious. It took me about a year. But I bought the first one in 2018. And thereafter, I started buying probably about two houses a year. Even during COVID, I believe I bought maybe three houses.
What a success story. Has your mind changed since then? Has it expanded?
Oh yes, definitely. And that's the amazing thing about being around a group of people like Lifestyles, is that you'll go into it with a very narrow vision of what's possible, and before you know it, you're thinking, yeah, I could possibly buy a small apartment complex. It's just crazy that your mind could even go there, because you would never imagine you could do that.
That's great. That's great. And that's a whole other section I want to get into with you about the people and what they meant to you, which basically, when you go there and you see these people moving much faster than you were, you thought you were going to move one house every year or 2 years or whatever. Does that leave an imprint, or did you have to do it yourself to finally figure it, or seeing other people and talking to other people help open that mindset?
Even just the other, of course, I work with mentors, which have helped me tremendously. But even just being around other successful people that have done it, it encourages you. What's the saying about, the five people that are around you are going to be who you are in a couple of years or so. And and being around, you know, a whole group of people who have become successful at doing real estate, you know, you're bound to become successful.
Yeah, I think the saying is something like, your income will be the average of the five people you hang out with the most, something like that. There's various versions of that. So looking at this here and seeing how much time I have on this segment, articulating this concept, you worked from 20 to 50, 30 years to save up what I think here in your notes says about 200 grand. And then at the end of this thing here, it says your net worth is 5X what it was when you started. I'm not real good with math, but I think that makes that over $1 million.
Yes, sir. I actually had a paid off house at the time. So at it was around 1.5.
Wow. From 200 to 1.5. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that might embarrass someone, but I hope you'll just gutfully tell us the truth. You felt you grew up as a poor boy. I grew up as a poor boy. Do you still feel like you're a poor boy?
Some days.
I think there's
that mentality is still there.
It's a mental construct, right? It's like, you know, I got to be careful with my money. You know, I wasn't, you know, born with a silver spoon, and making a lot of money sometimes doesn't even get rid of it, does it?
No. I've heard that true of even, you know, billionaires, that they're always afraid of losing it all. So I think it's just part of life.
Yeah, it is, until you start setting up the structures that you create these defensive walls that you can't back down below. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Gordon Polk and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Not sure how to get started with real estate? Lifestyles Unlimited gives you the tools and education to move you forward with confidence. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Gordon Polk out of Spring, Texas. And Gordon, let's get into a little bit more detail of the deals that you did. Tell us about your first single-family property. How'd you find it? How'd you locate it? How did you finance it? The whole bit. Just walk us through that deal.
Well, I work with mentors and also with real estate realtors that are part of Lifestyles, who actually found the property for me. The day that I went out there, we were not able to access it. It was quite a few of us out there trying to get into it, and but we were not able to access it. So many of those people went off and bought something else. The next time we went out, I was in the number one spot, and I was determined this was going to be my house. But I bought a four bedroom for $77,000. Now it needed work. But it was in a nice area. It was the ugly house in a nice area, within a block or two of a school. So we ran the numbers. Everything looked great. I was going to end up having about $40,000 in equity after purchase and after the rehab and everything. But it's turned out to be a great deal. I got a tenant in there, and they've been there since then.
What's something like that worth today?
It's worth probably somewhere around $250,000.
Wow. $77,000 to $250,000. That's quite a jump. That's great.
Actually, I'm sorry. So, I looked at the wrong number. That's the amount of equity I got in there. It's actually worth about $375. I'm sorry.
All right. So I've got to ask. You're talking about you had $270 equity in it. Now, what did you have to come out of pocket to buy this thing? Just out of curiosity.
I believe it was maybe around maybe $20,000.
$20,000. That's a lot of money, man. That's a really good deal. Now, after you did that one, where was your mind at? What did you go looking for next?
Well, I was told about a house up in Montgomery and went up there, and it was in a great area, very wooded, and but it looked like it probably should be torn down, and. My realtor was looking at it. It's like the numbers look good. I literally had on one side of the wall the realtor telling me, yes, we probably should do this. And on the other side of the wall was a contractor telling me, don't do it. There's way too much problems with this house. But we decided to go ahead and do it. And I spent, I'm going to round off the numbers. I'm going to, about $85,000 I bought this house for. And put about another $85 into it to do a rehab. And I've already done one cash out refi, which means I pulled out about $40,000 of equity. But right now it's worth around $400,000.
Unbelievable. Two deals can make that much fun. That's more than you saved from age 20 to age 50.
Exactly.
And you've done it in each time of the first two houses you did. Each house you did, you made more than you saved in 30 years of working and saving. That's just, it's mind-boggling. It really is.
It is. I remember leaving a case study one night and thinking the same thing as how many nights I spent taking classes for IT, and they never made a difference in my finances as much as Lifestyles has.
Unbelievable. So now you've got to be, you know, your personality is rather subdued, and you are more of a laid-back kind of guy. So you probably don't run into what most people run into by that second house, that kind of, after having that kind of gain, I would be running into the I'm too good for my own good britches, you know what I mean? The thing where the golden rule where everything I touch turns to gold. In other words, you understand what I'm saying? It's like you start thinking that you can't go wrong. How did you do on your third one?
I bought a house in Cyprus. That was in 2020 in a very nice neighborhood, great neighborhood, better neighborhood than what I currently live in. And it just basically needed updating. I bought this beautiful house for $120,000, and it's now worth about $365,000.
How much you have to put into it?
It wasn't much. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but it was maybe $30,000-$40,000 to do a rehab. It was in great condition. It just needed to be updated.
Man, so a third
and
one is a
even
home
worse, Dale, is all of these deals that I've been telling you about, I bought at great interest rates, or I refied them during COVID, so I've got like 3.25 or 3.6% interest rate. So the cash flow is very good, too.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. So you did 10 of these, but I noticed here on your resume that you sold two of them. Can you tell us about the two that you bought and then why you sold those?
Well, one I bought was up in Montgomery. It was a beautiful house. It needed to be updated. I got it for a great price. Is in an area called Walden. I don't know if you're familiar with the area. Very, very nice, exclusive area up there. When I bought it, initially it was not turn out to be a good property for a rental. It was a bit too big for a rental, possibly, at least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so I did something crazy. I moved out of my own house, which is a perfect size for a rental, perfect neighborhood and everything else. I turned my house into a rental, moved into that one for a while, and all of a sudden, everybody and their mother started putting up for sale signs, and a lot of building was going on up there. And I was able to take that house, which I think I paid about $150,000 for it, if I remember correctly. Beautiful house. And sold it for, I think it was around $280,000 or something like that. I forget exactly what the number was, but it was just, it was crazy. What I thought was a not a great deal still ended up, you know, walking away with well over $60,000 after all was said and done. And the opposite of that, I had a small house in off 288 south of Houston, and sold that one. It was maybe 1,000 square foot. Sold that one and walked away with about $40,000. So, you know, you could still do well, whether it's a larger house or a smaller house. I try to stay somewhere in the middle.
You've got up to 10 houses. You sold off two of them. You're at 8 houses. And then, bam, along comes the boss saying, we don't need you anymore. Walk us through that feeling. How does that feel? And how did it feel different knowing that you had all this money and income on the side now?
Well, I mean, of course, being in IT and being in the mid-50s and you know, being told that, hey, you know, your project's ended, you're not needed anymore. It's a shock, but one of the nice things, one of the comforting things was that I had income from the real estate. And honestly, I couldn't have done it without the money from the real estate, and it's been a great help. I'm now on Social Security, and Social Security just doesn't pay much. So having that additional income has helped immensely.
You know, it's interesting. From the notes I'm reading here, it says that you actually got laid off in 23, but you didn't take Social Security till 24. Did you think you were going to go back to work?
Well, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out this whole, whole retirement thing. I'm used to working, so there's part of me that still would like to work. If the right job came along, I think I would probably take it just to keep busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. You know, I'm 70 now, and so you know, I can't even imagine what it'd be to do nothing. That's why I continue to participate. It seems that as soon as people stop doing anything, they die. You know, it's just weird as it sounds, but you got to have something to think forward to. So what have you ever thought, have you thought about doing more in real estate?
Well, what I hope to do is to start selling off some of the older houses that I've had, or the whole houses that I've had for a while, and take some of that equity out, and then possibly turn around and buy some more single-family properties. I also am into multifamily investments as well. But my goal is to continue on. I just need to sell a couple of properties.
Well, you've got a really good track record, so obviously you know what you can do if you take that approach to it, type of deal. Now, it is interesting to me. You said you went for a HELOC and you didn't qualify for a HELOC. What was it that kept you from qualifying?
Basically, it was my debt-to-income ratio.
Yeah, which generally wouldn't happen as a real estate investor because you got so much income coming in from these properties. What is the challenge with that? How did they get you upside down on that? Because you had no income to cover your personal residence? Is that what it was?
I believe so. I mean, I don't remember what the reasoning behind it was, but yeah, I've just been looking at various ways to raise cash and to continue on investing, because right now I'm pretty much fully invested. But I already have one tenant that wants to buy my house, and one of my houses is in the process of doing that, but it's going to take a little bit time to resolve some issues.
Okay. So have you ever gone to my finance company yet, Lifestyles Finance?
No, I haven't.
I'd like you to go over there and speak to Kim, if you would.
Okay.
And
okay.
Let's take a look at your situation and see what workarounds there are available to you that maybe you, no one else has saw yet. And maybe there's not, but maybe there is sometimes.
Okay.
We can take a look at that and get a little creative on that stuff with you. Because really, with your track record, man, it seems like you should be out there doing something. If you keep hitting these home runs.
It's definitely fun to do. One of the joys is to be able to take a house that nobody wants and would even, you know, just tear it down and then turn it into a beautiful house. And then you see people come by and look at it, and they're just like, wow, this is beautiful. And they all want it. It's not any question about they all want it. It's just, do they qualify?
Are you using the same contractor on all these rehabs, or do you use different ones?
I've used different ones over time, just for various reasons. But yes, I've used several different. We typically have the same model. It's similar paint, similar flooring, etc. It's people call it like a lifestyles type model, but that's basically how we do it. It makes it easy.
Yeah, don't reinvent the wheel. You know, it's funny, the apartment associations stopped having national awards because we won them 16 years in a row, and they said every single property looks exactly the same, and it always wins every single time. I go, well, why not?
Yeah.
If it wins, if it works, why not keep doing it? So I'm glad you kept doing it and kept getting results. Let's get you over there with Kim and see if we can get you, you know, loosened up. You got this thing you're working on. If you've got questions for me, you can email me also. And we can take a look at that situation with the tenant you're working on. I might have some insight into that because I sold a bunch of my houses to tenants too. So that's a functional thing. You just got to get them qualified and, you know, get them a down payment of some type. And there's tricks to that also. So we can help you with that if you're working on that. Otherwise, awesome. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this story with us. What do you think of the people at Lifestyles? Just in curious.
Well, I mean, the people are amazing. I mean, they do, as you've said, they do end up becoming your friends. And the great thing about them is that you get around people like in Lifestyles, and they're going to push you to do better, and they're going to encourage you. They're going to help you. You get around people like that, you can't help but become successful. It's great to
Excellent.
Have
Well, I appreciate you coming on today, Gordon, sure. And sharing your story. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just some money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.